Mini episode 195 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Lounge mini episode number 195. We are covering NFL Week 5. Doing our picks here. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross coming at you as always. A little different format this week. Kyle is joining us from the great state of Texas, which means that we are using our good friends from Sportsology. We're using their phone hookup here this week, which also means that we are under a 45-minute clock. So we are going to be under great pains to compress, unlike how we have to usually do it. There are two bye-week games that would be taking place otherwise. Four teams that are on the bye, as I mess up my words here. So two games that are not being played because of byes. Bring in good friend Kyle Ross from the aforementioned great state of Texas. Kyle, how you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. And, you know, speaking of messing up your words, you're not the first guy in the last 24 hours to mess up your words. I think in honor of your boy Mitt Romney last night, I'm going with a lot of outright dogs this week.
He's not my boy, but yeah, somebody else near and dear to your heart fumbled a lot of words in the debate, certainly. So
Yeah, bad loss. Hey, didn't even need to take the points last night. That was an outright winner. And by the way, you mentioned I'm in the great state of Texas. I'm right in the shadow of someone who I know. You know, I only facetiously called Mitt Romney your boy, but I am in the shadow of the Capitol building here in Austin, Texas, as we speak, and you know, your other boy, your real boy, is right there. You know, I may go and have some words with him this morning after I'm done with you.
Rick Perry, please give him my best and tell him that I said he should have been the nominee, and
I'll be sure to do that, yeah.
Well,
that's precisely what I would say to Rick Perry if I walked up to him.
Probably not in your top five things that you would have to say, but I'll tell you what, we, unlike the president here, we are doing pretty well on the picks. I went 8-6-1 on all of them last week, 1-1-1 on my big three, 1-0 on my lock pick. That leaves me 34-26-3 for the season on all of them, 6-5-1 on the big three, 3-1 on the locks. You, Kyle, going 2-1 last week on your recommended plays, bringing you to 10-5-1 on the season, a sterling 67%. Ironically, 67, that was about the same number they said Obama lost the debate last night.
Yeah, and I think I was, if I remember correctly, I was about 9-5 with two passes overall when I listened to the show.
I think so yeah.
You know, all the listeners, hey, listen up. We're about to make you money over the next, you know, now 40 minutes, I think.
We're killing it. We're absolutely just straight out murdering fools here on this season.
It's interesting that we both did well last week because we disagreed on so many games, it seems. Once again, I don't see us agreeing on most of these games this week. I mean, it's funny. Obviously, it's always a great pleasure for me to come in and talk to you every week doing this. But I think you could have, even without me, you know who I'm going with in half these games. It's not all of them.
Well, we'll see how it shakes out here. Starting with the Battle of Pennsylvania here, the Pennsylvania State Championship, Eagles at the Steelers. Pittsburgh laying about 3.5 here. It looks like that's been pretty steadfast through the week in what they're laying to the Eagles. Again, you've got an Eagles team that's not as good as their 3-1 record. You've got a Steelers team that's probably better than the 1-2 record, as much as I loathe them personally. And that's going to be my determinant for making a couple of picks here this week. I can't see the Eagles being 4-1. I can't see the Steelers being 1-3. I'm going to take Pittsburgh and with some hesitation lay the 3.5.
Yeah, the hook gives me a little trepidation from giving this out as one of my top. I'm going to have five big recommendations this week. Just a little spoiler alert here. I lean to Pittsburgh here. They're 9-0 against the number off straight up loss. They're coming off a bye week as well. And I like where your head's at, Ricky. The Steelers, they're the better team. I mean, the hook, like I said, the hook gives me a little trepidation because you're going to have to win by more than a field goal. But they have that game in Oakland in hand in week three. The Eagles, I mean, their three wins have come by a combined 4 points. They're at least getting points, but I just think the Steelers are the better team playing at home off the bye. Let's play the number there.
Yeah, yeah. We're in agreement on the first one here. It'll be interesting to see how much that
continues.
I
knew we would agree on that one, but I think that's going to be the exception to the rule. I had a feeling that you'd go with Pittsburgh there.
We may on the next one as well, because you may be expecting me to lay the points in this next one, but I'm not. This is a very, very interesting one for a number of reasons. Green Bay at Indianapolis. And this is one where Bruce Arians and the Arian Nation offense will be at the helm of the team as Chuck Pagano is out recovering from leukemia. Yeah, you like that one, huh? Now, I have very low regard for Bruce Arians from his time as a Cleveland Browns quote-unquote offensive coordinator. Never really had much.
All right, I'll say that much. He was offensive.
Yes, it was offensive to small children and to women and all kinds of people, but under the circumstances, again, this is going to be a very, very emotional game for Indianapolis. You've got a Green Bay team which has struggled to be at 2-2. My Super Bowl pick coming out of the NFC, and I would have stayed with that, been steadfast, even had they lost last week to New Orleans. But as shaky as they've looked, as much as Indianapolis is going to be up for this one, I don't think Indianapolis is going to win, but I wouldn't swear on a stack of Bibles, but I think they're going to cover the 7, Kyle.
Yeah, well, we'll make a 2-for-2 in agreement here. Well, Green Bay's clearly the better team, but that's a lot of points to be getting at home. And Green Bay's just been shaky in every game. Even their two wins, like you mentioned, New Orleans 1-point victory, Chicago, you know, I think we talked about this at great length 2 weeks ago. You know, the final score is 23-10, but both of their offensive touchdowns, they only had one offensive touchdown. It came on a short field after one of several Jay Cutler interceptions. The other touchdown was on a gadget play on a fake field goal. So the Green Bay offense, yeah, they put up 28 points, was pretty good at times last week. I'm not sold that they're at where they were last year right now at all.
Yeah, I think a lot of us aren't. And I think that, again, it's going to take some statement victories in the middle and the latter part of the season for them to be able to get to where I fully expect them to be at the end.
This also, like, oh, sorry, Rick, I didn't mean to catch up. Indianapolis and Pittsburgh also off a bye as well, giving them, you know, which is always – that hasn't been as strong a handicapping key as it was initially when, you know, they began the byes low those 20 years ago. But still off a bye at home, getting this many points, that's a favorable situation for the Colts.
Well, and more time, I think, to get kind of juiced up under the circumstances with all the emotion that's going to be swirling, win one for Chuck, et cetera. I would agree with you on that as far as that playing into it. This next one here, a battle of the very bad and the very good. The 0-4 Cleveland Browns at the 2-2 New York Giants. This one at the Meadowlands here, Gumbel and Deerdorf, to have the call on CBS. I don't know what they ever did to suck for having to do a Browns game.
Geez. It goes from bad to worse there, huh?
It does. This is one, I toyed with making this one of my big three plays. The fact that the line has gone down from 10 to about 8.5 through the course of the week here, inexplicably, there's money coming in on the Browns. Maybe because they got a couple of extra days coming off of that Ravens game. Maybe because all the mouth breathers are out there like, OMG, they played Baltimore tough. Oh, maybe they're not as bad as we think. I'm laying the 8.5. Again, the fact that the money's flowing one way, it's just weirding me out too much to make this a play as far as my big three, but I have very little doubt the Giants are going to cover this one.
I'm going to pass.
Okay.
On this one, I will pass on this game. I'm going to tell you why. I like, for many of the same reasons you talked about it, I don't like how the numbers come down. I'd like to point out that all four of Cleveland's losses have come by 10 points or less. This is a team.
Yes.
Look, I agree with you, Ricky. I think you and I spoke actually after Thursday night's game against Baltimore. You know, we kind of laughed at what the reaction would be here locally. Oh, you know, it's a moral victory we achieved here. Well, I mean, no one else talks. Only when you're 0-4 do you start counting moral victories. Spoiler alert, though, I don't know what the line is, obviously, by any means. I'm going to love the Browns next week at home against Cincinnati. Just a little spoiler alert. I guarantee you, unless the Browns inexplicably are getting like 1 or 2 points at home in that matchup, I am going to be all over Cleveland to get win number one next week. They will lose this game to the Giants, obviously. The Giants are going to be angry off the loss to Philadelphia. But the Browns could keep this one close, I think. The Giants, sometimes, they can lay some real stinkers. We saw it last year, and Cleveland could always, you know, pull off the Jim Morrison special with the backdoor man. So I will pass on this game, as I am akin to do from time to time.
Okay. Yeah, and again, I've got a little bit of trepidation about the Browns doing, as I've said previously, the old penis puncher thing, sneak in the back door with a 7-point loss. But I just think that the Giants coming off of that Sunday night game are going to be looking for blood. And that for the first time this year, the Browns are not going to be able to keep it that close. You've got an interesting one here. Two teams that have really kind of confounded expectations up and down, so to speak. 1-3 Tennessee at 3-1 Minnesota this week. You've got a situation where Christian Ponder is a little bit banged up. Fully expect him to play, though. On the other side, it looks like Matt Hasselbeck is going to be good to go in place of Jake Locker. Locker being banged up himself with his bum shoulder at the moment. This is a thing where, again, the move is being made ostensibly for injury purposes, but I think it's going to be based on what we saw last year, the kind of thing that's really going to shake things up and give the Tennessee offense a jolt. Matt Hasselbeck, the primary reason he lost his job is because Jake Locker's the bonus baby, and you know, they'd like to get him experience and reps as soon as possible here. This could be a good move for them in the short term. This is a game where they are they're getting 5.5 from Minnesota, down from 6 earlier in the week. But I like the Titans to cover, and I wouldn't be surprised if they won outright at Minnesota.
Wow, okay. We are agreeing a little bit more than I thought we would on this program. I also, okay. This is one of my big five this week. I like Tennessee plus the points. You talked about at the open how you're going to kind of take, you know, an inventory, what you thought of these teams going in before the year, and kind of make the old, I can't really see Minnesota going 4-1. That's when I look at this. Minnesota's 3-1 start shocks me more than just about anything. I mean, this is a Vikings team I thought would only win 2 or 3 games all year. They've already got 3 wins. Keep in mind, both touchdowns last week from the punt return game at Detroit. And their other 2 wins, I mean, they obviously pulled the stunner against San Francisco, but their other win against Jacksonville by 3 at home. Minnesota is not a team that you want to lay more than one score with, more than a field goal with, I should say.
Agree with that. So far there's been a lot of harmony on the other picks thus far. We may diverge on the next one because this is one of your cherished teams. I'm very interested to see at what point in time you let go of these guys. The 3-1 Ravens are at the 1-3 Chiefs, coming off of last week's thumping at the hands of division-leading San Diego. This is one where the Ravens are laying 6.5. So it started at 6 earlier in the week. Looking at this, again, with Kansas City being as extremely challenged as they are at stopping offenses, with the high-tempo offense that Baltimore has been putting out there a lot with Flacco this year, I have very little doubt they're going to win, and I think they're going to cover it also because I don't think Kansas City is going to be able to keep up. You wouldn't be able to say that about a Ravens team in past years, but, yeah, I think that's what applies here. I don't see Kansas City keeping up with Baltimore.
Okay. Kansas City, it's about time, I think, for me to jump off this bandwagon. But not yet. But not yet. This is one of my big five. I am taking the 6.5 at Arrowhead with Kansas City. If this team has any pride at all, they're going to show up and compete this week. This is a team, Rick Morris, that through 4 weeks has turned the ball over 15 times. They're minus 13 in the turnover department. That's why they're 1-3. Quite frankly, they're lucky not to be 0-4. But I'm going to tell you what. We've seen teams off a weekday win the week previous come out really lagging in some situations this year. We saw Dallas, you know, open the year with a win over the Giants. They came out lost to the Seattle Seahawks. We saw Green Bay come out and lose to Seattle the next week. Seattle, by the way, catching a few teams off those games. And then who played the third Thursday game there? I'm trying to think.
Oh, yeah.
Cleveland and Baltimore. Who played the week before Cleveland and Baltimore? It's escaping me right now.
You love stumping me on the air, don't you? All right.
What's that?
I'm looking for that. But yeah, Cleveland-Baltimore was on. That was week four. Never mind.
Yeah. Who played the Thursday game in week three? It's the Giants in Carolina. And then the Giants, they came out last week and lost to the Eagles. So there you go. I'm taking the points. Chiefs keep this one close. Everyone loves the Ravens and wants to anoint this team as the AFC champion. I am not ready to do that. I think they're maybe the third best team in the AFC.
They may very well be. Yeah, I don't.
I still. I know they cheated to beat New England, but I'll still take the Patriots in a playoff situation, and I would certainly take my Houston Texans over the Baltimore Ravens any day of the week, and of course twice on Sunday.
I would probably agree with you on those. Yeah, Rich Carlos thought that field goal was good. I'm not sure anybody else did. This next one. Chicago is visiting Jacksonville. They were laying 3.5 earlier in the week. It is up to 6 right now. Again, got a little bit of hesitation there because, so the public is obviously going very heavily through the course of the week on Jacksonville as that line keeps moving up. But I'm looking at this now. I just have an odd sense that Jacksonville is going to be able to keep this one a little bit closer. This is a game where, again, I think the Bears could be a little bit flat coming off of the Monday night game. I have no doubt whatsoever who wins this game. It's the Bears. This is sort of similar to a couple weeks ago on college at Kyle. I'm doing the picks on our blog every week, the FDA's Lounge at blogspot.com. I knew our Bobcats would beat Marshall. Didn't think we would cover. This is almost identical. Bears will win. Don't see Bears covering the 6.
This was originally not in my top 5, but with the line move you referenced, and there was another game which originally was that I took out because of a line move. So this one is in. I am certainly similar to the Chiefs, almost the exact same reason why I am taking the big number at home with Jacksonville or Chicago. I was, of course, at that Bears-Cowboys game. What a stadium, by the way. Say what you will about the Cowboys. Say what you will about Jerry Jones. This facility makes Brown Stadium look like an 8th grade game. I mean, it's almost like it's a different league. I mean, it's almost like it's a different league. Brown Stadium, the Browns? I mean, Brown Stadium, it's like a park. It makes Brown Stadium look like a place where they play rec league flag football. What a facility. I'll say this. The Bears have benefited mightily from turnovers this year. This is a team that has forced 14 turnovers. Now, you can say, you can always count on it every week. The Bears seem to get them every week. They got, 2 defensive scores last week against the Cowboys? I know it's a cliche, and it's something you don't want to say too often, but, by the way, you think Cleveland Sports Talk Radio is bad? You should listen to Dallas Sports Talk Radio when the Cowboys are off loss. There are 2 people that I think literally were on the ledge. And you say, you got to talk me up. But I think these people literally were on the ledge when we were listening after that game. But that game, I think, had more to do with the Cowboys stinking than the Bears really exerting their will. They didn't do a lot on offense, Chicago. I mean, they only ran the ball for 93 yards. Cutler had kind of a ho-hum day. So, give me the points, Jack. Why does Chicago going to be flat here off the Monday night win? Pardon me. They've got 2 home games to look forward to with Detroit and Carolina. I'd see them overlooking Jacksonville and winning this one by a closer margin than it should be.
Yeah. Classic look-ahead situation here for Chicago. The big glory game here from the standpoint of the networks and the Eastern Seaboard Programming Network and everything. It is Manning v. Brady yet again, Denver at New England, Nats and Sims calling the game for CBS, naturally. This is one where the Patriots have held pretty firm, laying the 7 points throughout the week. This is an interesting one again. I really see New England winning the game, but that's a lot of points. Both these teams coming off blowout wins last week, although the Patriots game started out as a blowout in the other direction. And very quickly materialized to what it would become. So both teams coming in hot. Could be a shootout, but I see like a 38-34 kind of a win for the Patriots. So sort of similar to the last one, except that these are both a decent team in the case of Denver and a very good team in the case of New England. There's no Jacksonville's in this game, but I see a similar outcome. Patriots to win, but I don't see them covering the 7.
I I'm really tempted to pass here. Denver was very kind to me, destroy a very rare case of me laying a favorite in the touchdown range last week. I figured they would destroy Oakland. They did. New England's been kind of shaky. I know they won 52-28 last week, but that was all second half. You know, I think that momentum carries them in, just because I'm going to tell you what. New England's definitely winning this game straight up, like you mentioned. Absolutely. It's under 7 now. It's 6.5. If you can grab the 6.5, I'll take that. I'll lay the 6.5. Not my favorite. There are some 6.5s out there. It's going to be tough. You're going to have to shop around. At 6.5, I really like New England, but this is not my favorite game by any means. It's going to finish right around that margin.
Kyle takes the approximately touchdown favorite. I take the dog. What is the world coming
to? Yeah, I was
going to
say, that's one that I thought for sure we'd actually agree on.
A little Freaky Friday situation here.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll see if it holds up for any of the other games. The next one, very interestingly enough, the O.J. Simpson Bowl, as the 2-2 Buffalo Bills go out to San Francisco, face the 3-1 49ers. Line in this one, 9.5, down from 10. Again, Bills coming off of the aforementioned thumping at the hands of New England last week. San Francisco, conversely, doing what they did to the Jets, one of the statement games of the year. Interestingly enough, they did. And looking ahead in terms of Gotham, a rematch next week at home for the NFC Championship game against the Giants, with both teams making the cross-country travel. Yeah, I'm saying take the points. Once again, Niners win, but don't cover.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot. I think the point spread, which, you know, my good friend, I had a good friend once called the great equalizer, is always the first to have. I think it's going to come into play in a lot of these games, this being one of them. Too many points. The 49ers off that big win, and yes, a look-ahead game to the Giants at home next week. Buffalo, they could really use them, and I don't see them getting a win. They do have, they're at Arizona, who obviously, is much better. By the way, I know we don't usually talk about the Thursday game. We did last week because we did a show earlier, and I like Cleveland so much. Go with the dog again this Thursday. I just like to bring that up in passing. I like St. Louis tonight at home. We're doing the show, obviously, Thursday morning. You can make fun of me if I'm wrong. I didn't need to say it, but I'd like to go on a limb and say take St. Louis Thursday night at home against Arizona. I also say take the points with Buffalo here Sunday afternoon. I agree with you there, Rick.
Yeah, and this is going to be too late for anybody to catch because of the upload lag here. But, yeah, I'm going with Arizona.
Like I said, if I wind up being wrong when it goes live, just make sure to edit that part of the show.
We'll see how it plays out. I'm laying Arizona tonight. I don't think Arizona has gotten to where they've gotten 4-0, only to blow it to the Rams. But that's just my sense of it. I can do the voice too. The next one. You've got the Drew Brees Bowl in the next game here, as he goes for the outright NFL record. Tell me that the league office didn't plan this one. 3-1 Chargers at the 0-4 Saints, as the Sunday night crew will be calling this one. This is one where, the Chargers, I've been on them all year. You and I have been against the Saints a good part of the year, picking them to finish below the projected win total and even below 500 in my case, and I think in your case. Not a great surprise to us, and yet I just think it all ends here. I just think there's going to be too much emotion. The NFL is even letting Peyton and some of the other convicts from the Bountygate scandal in the house here. I just think the Saints are going to be geared up. This is their Super Bowl. They have nothing else to play for this year. Sunday night game, Brees gets the record. Saints get the win and the cover.
I have five highly recommended plays this week. Four of them will be ugly dogs. We've already talked about three of them: Tennessee, Kansas City, and Jacksonville. Have fun with those people. But I'm going with a favorite in this one. I'm going with New Orleans all the way. This is my favorite game of the week, actually. It's kind of funny because normally I don't do this because I expect everyone to be on New Orleans come kickoff. This line is going to get steamed up to 4. Maybe even beyond. I know you like San Diego. and they may very well wind up winning this AFC West. But, you know, ton of turnovers last week against Kansas City. Beating Oakland and Tennessee, nothing to really beat your chest over. And they got killed by Atlanta. So, they're somewhere in between. The Saints are not as bad as their 0-4 record. And they've been in every game. They've lost by 8-8, 3-1 in their four. So they haven't been blown out. They are, they're 0-2 at home. I cannot possibly see a team that went 9-0 straight up and against the spread in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, thank you very much, losing a third straight time on their home turf. Laid a number with the Saints here. This is my favorite play of the week.
See, you're braver than I am in the sense that I thought about making this one of my lock picks. I feel very strongly about it. But with the Saints being 0-4, I just can't put that much certitude on them. But
my whole thing is, what are they going to be, 0-16? I mean, they're going to win. I mean, look, it's funny. You referenced there quickly that, you and I were kind of out in front of it saying, hey, that was our top futures pick. We were just like doing cartwheels. We were, I think, lines checking everything to make sure we weren't saying something preposterous when we saw that the books still had their win total at 10. I didn't have them at 0-4 at this point. I don't know if you did, but I didn't. I mean, I had them beating Washington and Kansas City at least at home. I mean, I figured, but then again, if you're cherry picking games, it would have been tough to make a case that they'd be any worse than 8-8. I think when I did that, so I just said, hey, with Peyton out, they're going to lose games that you think they'd win. That's already happened. I mean, even if they go 6-6 the rest of the way, they finish 6-10. So I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest. I think the market's come way down on this team. I wouldn't be surprised if they play 500 ball from here on out.
They may very well. And again, yeah, of course, we had them winning the home games, I think, you and I, probably when we were looking at it at the beginning of the season. The last one to look at here before we get to my big three plays for this week, Houston is at the New York Jets Monday night in what could turn out to be a very, very ugly game if the best team in the AFC really gets on a roll as the 49ers did last week. This is a line that's gone from 7-9. As much as I don't want to be playing the same way as Joe Bag of Donuts here with the line moves and everything like that. And I realize Texans are due for a letdown, but Kyle, it's just too big of a leap of faith to say this is where it's at. Lay the 9, Houston rolls Monday night.
I know you're going to
roll
your
eyes. You're disappointed in me. I'm Sam Square. I'm Sam Square on this one.
I rode Sam Ricky twice again. I know you're going to roll your eyes because of the four-letter network I always defend. If you would tell me that Tim Tebow was going to definitely start this game, I would be all over the Jets.
He's probably coming off the bench at some point.
Yes. As it is, I don't have that guarantee. I have absolutely no justification for this pick whatsoever, except for the fact that Houston's due for a letdown. They are my pick to win the Super Bowl, thank you very much. And that the Jets cannot possibly be any worse than they were at the end of that 49ers game. I'd like to point out that it got away from them late. It seemed they almost quit late.
Right.
This many points, if they don't cover this spread, I guarantee you Tim Tebow starting next week, first of all, if he doesn't finish the game anyway this week.
Okay.
This will round out my top five, and I will take the points of the New York Jets at home on Monday night.
Okay. Well, very, very interesting.
Look, I told you, I got the Saints and four hold-your-nose ugly dogs. Like I said, this is another game where I think the dog will cover but not win. I just think Houston's due for a letdown. Look, I love Houston, but they have not, and they've whipped up on a bad team. But
right.
If they kill him here, then everyone just better look out because they're going 14-2. And they're going to probably win, and they could go 13-3, 14-2 already because this division's over. I mean, the Houston and Atlanta have won their division. Those division races are over. I'm calling them in week four.
Yeah,
hold your nose and take the chance.
Those are two divisions that are nowhere near as good as they looked at this time last year. No question about that. Get to the big three picks here for the week. First of all, the teams on the bye: Dallas, Detroit, Oakland, and Tampa. Those teams are sitting this one out here this week. Big three plays for me start with this one. Miami at Cincinnati. This is a line move that has gone from 5.5 that the Bengals are laying down to 3.5. Inexplicably, for whatever reason, whether it's Brian Hartline mania taking over the country or whatever, everybody's jumping on the Dolphins. And this is a
When I saw the numbers he put up, because I was getting ready to go to the Rangers Angels game Sunday night here in Arlington. Not like I'm some important person or anything, but that's just what I was doing. So I missed the second half of the fabled Miami-Arizona game, and I saw Brian Hartline's numbers, and you know this day and age. What's the first thing you think when you see that? Especially you. You know what the first reaction is.
Sure. Did it, you know, a lot of dump-offs.
Well, no. I was saying, I got to get him for my fantasy team.
Oh, yeah, well, that too. Okay. I thought you meant diagnosing what happened, Kyle.
Guess what? Of course the Ohio State honk in our league already had it. I mean, I was like, are you kidding me?
That shouldn't even
it
count.
It's funny that my buddy Chad Repack, the Bob Sacramento on the show, is like, I wonder if he's like, I bet you Rick has him. I'm like, why would anyone have Brian Hartline on a fantasy team? And he did. I was nauseous when I saw that.
You should be denied his services. Yeah, if you drafted him because he went to Ohio State, you should just have him ripped on general principle from your roster. I can't quite figure this. Again, you and I were talking last week. We expected the entire world to be on Arizona. We almost looked so prescient. We said Miami to cover and maybe to win outright. They came very close in that. I think Miami is benefiting from inflation in the public mind. OMG, they almost took down Arizona. Well, Kyle and I said last week that they could and maybe should. I think they're benefiting from that here against Cincinnati. I understand that Miami's been very tough to run on. But, again, I think Andy Dalton is going to be able to make it happen, picking and popping through the air here. I definitely like the Bengals to cover the 3.5 at home.
You know what's funny? This was the game. You know, if you go back and listen, I said I took something out of my top five because of a line move and replaced it with the Chicago-Jacksonville game where I was benefiting from a line move. I'm still going to give a slight lean to Miami despite the points coming down. I see this game exactly like I saw the Miami-Arizona game last week. Exactly. I just think that Cincinnati is not that good, quite frankly, as their record indicates. If they win, hey, they're 4-1. Like I said, part of me hopes Cincinnati. I'll even take the loss here. I actually hope you're right, you know, just because you're a good friend, and Cincinnati covers this game and goes to 4-1, because I'm telling you, I'll be all over the Cleveland Browns the following week against them. The Bengals, I don't think they're that good. A.J. Green is tremendous, but other than that, I don't think they're that great.
I don't think they're that great either, but you and I were talking about at the beginning of the year, six teams, by some strange quirk of the NFL rules, six teams still have to make the playoffs in the AFC, even though it should probably be like four teams and eight teams in the NFC.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time figuring out what six those are. I mean, you got to figure Houston, New England, Baltimore are going to be the three. You'll have a West winner.
I got Cincinnati pretty close.
Cincinnati, they're going to be in contention. I mean, no matter – I mean, if they get off to a 4-1 start, you're right. This year in the AFC, I mean – heck, they only have to play 500 pretty much the rest of the way, and they'll be in the discussion.
Well, and something that one of our fellow FDH Lounge dignitaries, Nate Noy, ironically also located these days in the Metroplex, pointed out to me last week in the Seattle-St. Louis game when I was on Seattle, rookie QBs on the road. You realize you're going with one here in Tannehill, albeit it's not one of your big five plays.
You got it done last week.
Yeah, and that takes us to the next one here. Rookie QB again on the road, Russell Wilson. He burned me last week when I was on Seattle. This week they are at Carolina. The line on this one, Carolina is laying 3, up from 2 originally. I'm gonna use two bases for the pick here. One, rookie QB on the road. It burned me last week. He was nowhere near the same guy at St. Louis as he's been at home. And also, back to the logic that I used, I think, in the Pittsburgh-Philadelphia game, I don't see Seattle 3-2. I don't see the Panthers 1-4. Taking the Panthers, laying the field goal in this one.
Yeah, I kind of really should have made this. The only thing that I watched the end of that Carolina-Atlanta game, and I know that I was really on driving that Carolina bandwagon at the start of the year, and it's not looking good. I'm definitely off that bandwagon right now. They're not going to make the playoffs in the tough NFC. But I'm definitely laying the points with them here. I was on St. Louis last week. It was a very obvious letdown situation, at least to me. I know it was a small number, to take with a poultry Rams team similar to this week that I'm recommending. But look, Seattle's terrible on the road. I mean, it's that simple. Carolina has to win this game. It was a terrible ending. I think Ron Rivera, by the way, stinks. I'd just like to make that clear. I was going over Monday night with my buddy Chad and a few other people. I could make a case that two-thirds of the league's coaches aren't very good. I was going, there's like 10 coaches, including the suspended Sean Payton, that I'm like, oh, I like him. I want him to be the coach of my team. I think most of these coaches, I think Andy Reid, like then I watched Andy Reid on Sunday night. I think he's not very good. Vic got a subtle shot at him about icing the kicker, which I enjoyed highly. But after this diatribe, the bottom line is, look, Seattle 6-21 on the road under Pete. That's straight up under Pete Carroll. So I'm taking Carolina in a game they must have.
So it would offend your hipster friends, but it probably wouldn't take you long to put Pat Shurmur on your list, too, of coaches you don't have much regard for, and all the Facebook GMs that you're friends
Shurmur.
With.
What is on that clipboard, by the way? Porn? He's always looking at it.
I don't know, but at least he's not like most coaches in the league shielding their mouths from the cameras with the Waffle House menus. I always wonder what's up with that. But this takes us here to the 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 5.
You got to be kidding me.
And I am 3-1 on the season with this. Two of my three wins have come on the same team. I don't often keep congregating on the same team, but I realize that I'm kind of rare in this regard, as with many others. But I do have the Falcons atop my NFL power rankings. I think it's a coin flip between them and Houston. I've given it to them. They're in a situation here. They're laying 3 at the Redskins here. I think it's been a solid 3 all week. I don't see it. I don't see Washington being able to slow down, much less stop this Atlanta offense. They've proven in the last week or two there is some balance. There was a little bit of early on, OMG, when's Michael Turner going to get it going? He's up now to 4.7 yards per carry. Michael Turner is fine. The priority here was in establishing the new downfield offense, and now they've proven that they can go either way on this thing here. So I think Atlanta's going to go in. I think it's going to be a little bit of a shootout here. I think that Washington's going to put up some points with RG3. But I like Atlanta for the third time this season as my 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for the week.
If I had any stones, I would have Washington as one of my big picks this week. But they don't – here's the thing. You know me. I take almost – every home dog. I think I went with every home dog this week, by the way. Usually I always say, I'll take one road favorite. And it's panned out. I know last week, at Cincinnati against Jacksonville. The week previous, I can't remember offhand who it was, but I think we won with them. I think you and I both agreed whoever it was. Look, I have some trepidation because the Atlanta offense versus the Washington defense is a bad matchup for the home team, no matter what way you slice it.
Yep.
I see this being a high-scoring game, but Washington sticking with them. Atlanta's probably due for a letdown at some point. They're 4-0. I have Houston 1, Atlanta 2. I don't really see how anyone in their right mind couldn't have those as some combination of 1-2 in an exact box. But, give me the points. Hopefully it gets to 3.5, but I doubt it will.
Okay. All right. So you're taking them with the 3, so your 5 big picks for the week here. And again, unlike me, you vary yours. You kind of go by what the landscape is from week to week. So you're liking, as you said, some ugly home dogs here: Tennessee, Kansas City, Jacksonville. You additionally like New Orleans, and as I'm looking at this here, what's the one other one? Which one?
The Jets.
Oh, the Jets.
The ugliest home dog of them all.
That's right.
Tennessee's a road dog, obviously. By the way, I love that Are You Serious show on WWE.com. I'd like to make that clear. Speaking of the road dog, but you should check it out. It's very funny. But
you better call somebody.
I am going with 4 ugly dogs and an 0-4 favorite this week. Hold your nose, folks, and let's hope we make some money.
hold your nose, but the money is going to smell very nice at the end. Meanwhile, my picks, true to form, my picks are all favorites for my big three: Carolina, the Natty, and the big one here, Atlanta, at Washington. Actually, very interesting there. I'm going with a road favorite there for my lock pick of the week here. Some real
road favorite Ricky.
Road favorite Ricky. Yeah, that's what they call me down at the old bar and grill. But yeah,
Hey, Atlanta looks pretty good. If you're gonna lay three or less on the road with a team right now, Atlanta certainly is as fine a candidate as any. So I don't like Mike Shanahan either. So it certainly would be any skin off of went off my back to see him lose.
Nor his wastoid kid who tries to get himself over by abusing a replacement ref, as he did.
Yes, the Eric Watts of the NFC East.
Well, that sounds like as good a note to bring it around on any. By the way, I was actually checking out excerpts of an Eric Watts shoot interview on YouTube the other day where he was bragging about his successful life after pro wrestling and about how he's more famous than Dave Meltzer and all the people who dogged him.
Oh, dear God. Dear God.
I have to hit my quota every time, Kyle, of eliciting disgust from you in the course of a broadcast.
Yeah, I'm sure Charlie Strong is going to call him up to have a to bring him back to honor his fine career.
Yeah, well, Eric Watts, that boy is the drop kicks as Pat Shermer's NFL coaching.
It's funny, Richard, real quick about that first story. I was in San Antonio for a day, and I sound like Peter King, by the way. I was doing this. I was at my daughter's volleyball game. But I was visiting the Alamo yesterday afternoon, actually, around this time, about 24 hours ago, and they talked about the famous charge led by Sam Houston against General Santa Anna to win Texas's independence. And while we're watching this movie, I turned to my buddy Chan. I'm like, good God, I hope he didn't throw a drop kick. Texas would still be under Mexican rule.
It's your baby doll reference here.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying your time out of the state here this week, Kyle. We'll reconvene here next week for NFL.
I look forward to being back. Yeah.
That'll be tremendous. It'll be tremendous. All right. Enjoy the rest of your vacation, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us during it.
Okay. Not a problem, Ricky. Talk to you soon.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.